The series continues. Yes, today Dr. Don Wilton continues in the study on angels as we open God's encouraging word together. It's all about the Bible. And you know, there are many stories and books and concepts about angels, but let's go to the real book. Matter of fact, today we'll be in Genesis chapter 22 with Dr. Don Wilton as we continue in our study on angels. And as we do so, questions are popping up. If you got questions, let's discover the answers together. We can do that in God's Word by calling us at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And while you're there, sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word Devotion from Dr. Don. It's easy to do online at tewonline.org. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
It seems to me that God has bookended the whole subject of angels for a specific reason. Now, I'm going to read to you today from Genesis chapter 22, and I want you to follow along with me in this incredible encounter in the life of Abraham. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, listen to this. Isn't this amazing, folks? This is incredible. Do you remember last week, if I could just pause in the middle of our reading? Last week when we were looking at this, I read to you that passage about the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives in such agony prior to the cross. You'll remember in Luke's gospel how Jesus said, "Father, would you take this cup from me? But nevertheless, not thy will, but my will, but thine be done." And you'll remember right there at that critical point at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that an angel of the Lord appeared and simply came there, and the Lord was strengthened as a result of his appearance. I see another bookend, because God is telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ through Abraham, of which Jesus Christ was of his lineage, the father of many nations, Isaac his son, and right here at this critical point, at the sacrifice of Isaac, God sends an angel. At the critical point at which Jesus Christ was about to march down the Via Dolorosa and be executed upon a cruel Roman cross to carry out the express will and determination of God, an angel of God appears. Both result in the same thing. Both were strengthened. Both were given direction. Both received peace in their hearts. Look what happened here. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven. Notice he didn't leave heaven on this occasion. "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but should have eternal life. Verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. I want to give just three reminders before I dive into this text. Number one, principle number one, angels are not a shortcut to God. Angels are not a shortcut to God. Number two, principle number two, angels are not a substitute for God. Principle number three, angels are not a safe haven from God. Now, friend, today the New Age movement is gaining hold not only in Hollywood but all over the world. The New Age movement is not of God. There are segments of the New Age movement that would seek to bring to bear all of these three principles that I've shared with you. Number one, they'll tell you that angels are a shortcut to God. They are not. Number two, they will say that angels are a substitute for God, that we can go and worship someone or something that is a substitute for our worship of God. Angels are not a substitute for God. Number three, that angels are a safe haven from God, in that angels provide some kind of reclusive protection from the righteousness of Almighty God. Definitively, absolutely not. Oh, what exactly is it that angels do? Well, I'm going to pick up at point eight. If you haven't heard the previous four or five messages in this regard, you can certainly call our office and order the tapes. Point number eight, the eighth thing that angels do. Angels inform us. Angels inform us. Now, I want to remind you about the work of the Holy Spirit. There is something that angels cannot do. Angels cannot convict us concerning righteousness, concerning judgment. They cannot convict us concerning sin. Angels cannot convict us, but they can inform us. They can let us know about exactly what it is that God wants us to know, but they cannot accompany their information with the conviction that is necessary in order to enable us to follow what it is that God is telling us. That's why worshiping angels is so comfortable. Angel can talk until he's blue in the face. An angel can tell me anything he wants to. An angel has no capacity to be able to convict me to do what God is telling me to do through that angel. Only the Holy Spirit of the living God can do that for me. Angels inform us. I read to you this passage in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, how the angel of God came down at this critical time in the life of Abraham and informed him, told him all the details. Judges 13, we looked at Samson, Manoah, the birth of Samson, and what the angel of God said to Manoah and his wife. You can go into Luke chapter 1 and read about the birth of John. As far as Elizabeth was concerned, the angel spoke. Let's do that very quickly. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Everybody turn there with me quickly to Luke chapter 2. But something interesting happened here with the shepherds. Look at it with me. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel, singular, remember we've established this, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, watch the information here. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior who has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. Remember we talked about guidance last week? And angels show us the signs. They point out the direction God wants us to go. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared in the sky, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom rests on all men. I was just thinking about that, and I said to myself, here are all the angels. They can only be dispatched one angel at a time. This angel gets the best of all commissions. God says to him, go and make an announcement about my son. The rest of the angels are saying, thank you very much. How come he gets to go and make the announcement? And that angel goes down, meets with the shepherds and said, Jesus is going to be born. The rest of the angels can't stand it. So they say, hey, choir, let's get up and go on down there. And that's why you have this heavenly host appearing in the sky, singing along with the angel right out there in the shepherd field, announcing glory to God in the highest. Isn't that great? Choir, remain seated, please. All right. Isn't that wonderful? In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 19. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph after Herod's death. Why? To give him information. Folks, this is incredible. Well, what do the angels inform us about? Let's just look at this quickly. By informing us, angels are presenting us with three things. In fact, as I've gone back through some of these passages of Scripture, I've discovered this frequently. You can kind of summarize the information highway of the angels around three big themes. Each one of these three themes seem always to fit into the information angels give. You can run that test for yourself. Number one, they inform us about the character of God.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with all three of those themes in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt to remind you this is not just a presentation. It's a conversation. There's things that are stirred in your life, stirred in your heart, maybe by hearing Dr. Don preach, and you've got questions. Let's discover the answers together. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, encourage you. On the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But we could also encourage you keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And I pray you'd consider signing up if you haven't already for the Daily Encouraging Word email. It goes out every morning about 6 a.m. with insight from Dr. Don about a passage of Scripture and an application that'll help you and me grow closer to Jesus Christ by growing closer to His encouraging Word. That's all online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Most of the time that angels bring information to earth, they are informing us about the character of God. Well, just take this instance with the shepherds. What is the character of God? What is that virtue being expressed there? It's love. The angel is coming to inform the shepherds about this love, about the determination of God, the character of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. Number one, they inform us about the character of God. Number two, they inform us about the express will of God. We seem to come back to this time without number. There seems to be this incredible knowing and doing the will of God theme that comes out through these angels. These angels bring to us incredible doctrinal truths, time without number. They inform us about the character of God. They inform us about the express will of God. And they inform us about the facts as given by God. Let's take the shepherds, for example. Try and study that just a little bit closer. Here's what happened. The angel came to the shepherds and basically said to them, shepherds, this is where you are. This is what is happening to you. This is where God wants you to go. This is what you're going to find when you get to go where God wants you to go. This is the result of what is going to happen when you find what it is that God wants you to find, when you get to go where God wants you to go. This is the angel superhighway. There is a sense in which the angels are used by God when God determines it, and only when God determines it, on the occasions that God determines it, to bring information that God wants certain people to know. Angels inform us. Number two today. Angels teach us. Angels teach us. Now, friends, you're going to have to really stick with me. I hope you got your fingers ready to do some walking through the Word of God, as always. All right? I want you to turn with me and then keep your fingers there to Psalm 89. But don't ever lose it. Just keep your fingers in Psalm 89. Angels teach us. Number one, the first thing they teach us about is worshiping God. Angels teach us about worshiping God. Now, folks, I want you to all, just everybody, look at me. What is the number one reason why God created mankind? The number one reason why God created man. To worship Him. Did you know that? Did you know that the number one reason why you have been created is to worship the Lord? Angels teach us about worship. We're going to notice something very significant here. Let me show you, first of all, Psalm 89. And I'm going to just read some. So let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. Now keep your finger in Psalm 89 and let's go all the way to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. That's an easy one to find. Revelation chapter 4. I want to show you something. Now this is wonderful. Have you ever wondered what God is doing in heaven? What He looks like, where His activities are? One of the most important things about God is that He is sitting on His throne. He is enthroned. He is royal majesty. God our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is sitting on His royal throne. The Bible says He is surrounded by millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of angels. And these angels are worshiping Him. And their act of worship teaches us a lot about who God is. Because everything the angels do, remember, points to God. It never points to themselves. Angels are there and are deployed in order to teach us something. What are they teaching us? Let's look at Revelation chapter 4. I'll begin at verse 6. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in the front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. I wish I had time to explain this all to you this morning. Verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever. That word there literally means they worship Him because of His enduring eternal grace. They worship Him because He is God forever. They worship Him because He is the great I Am. They worship him. They lay their crowns down before his throne, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, "Let all God's angels worship him." So number one, what do they teach us? They teach us about worshiping God. Number two, they teach us about fearing God. They teach us about fearing God. Go back to Psalm 89, where you've all kept your fingers there. In Psalm 89, let's look just briefly at verse 7. Psalm 89 and verse 7. In the counsel of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. You get the picture here? We're in the throne room of God. The council of the holy ones. This is the battalions of God's angels who are gathered together praising him. And in that context of worship, worship within itself is a reminder to us about who God is and how great God is. What is worship? Worship is not simply just giving our praise and our adoration to God. It is receiving back a sense of our own standing before God. One of my favorite things is sport. I love sport, watching it and playing it and being involved in it. You can see upon the faces of players a sense of, listen to this, a sense of fear for their coach. Not fear in terms of, "Oh, please, whatever you do, don't hurt me." But a sense of fear in terms of, "Coach, I'm waiting to hear from you which play, where to go. I'm at your command. I'm part of the team." The angels here are talking about this incredible fear, this awesome sense of reverence in the presence of the holiness of God. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Just look here with me quickly. Just amazing. Revelation 7 and verse 11 and 12. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and forever. Amen." I love that, don't you? Wow. They teach us about worshiping God. They teach us about fearing God. Number three, they teach us about the holiness of God. Go back to Psalm. Psalm 99. I'm going to read the first three verses. "The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits." Look at this picture here. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. "Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is holy." Look at verse 5. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool." Why? Because God is holy. Go down to verse 9. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain." Why? Because the Lord our God is holy. Holy. The angels of God, they teach us about worshiping God, about fearing God, about the holiness of God. In the fourth place, they teach us about the freedom that we have in God. Now I'm going to turn very quickly to Ezekiel chapter 1. Listen to this, talking about the angels. This is incredible. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 12. "Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. The Word of God says, listen, if you want to understand the relationship between God and the Lord Jesus Christ and His heavenly angels, you've got to understand the significance of the freedom that we have in Christ because of our worship of Him. Now, folks, listen, this is very important here. In Job chapter 38 and verse 7, the Bible says, all the angels shouted for joy. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, the Word of God talks about the joyful assembly that gathered together around the throne room. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, you know the number one song I love for the young people to sing? Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you know something? The angels of God stand around the throne of God singing, be to our God forever and forever. Amen. So be it. Thus it is written in the heart of God. Thus it is said, I am the Lord your God, and there is none like unto me.
With all glory to the Lord our God. Oh, there is none like Him. I pray that as you've studied with us this week on angels, that perhaps the Lord has stirred your heart to change, to make a course correction. And if so, we'd love to pray with you about that. We're available at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. But maybe before you want to talk to us, maybe it's time to talk to God. Would you hear these final thoughts from Dr. Don?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Wow. It's been a powerful week of preaching and teaching and praying. And if while Dr. Don was praying, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, oh, how we'd love to rejoice with you. We'd love to pray with you into the next steps of growing in your faith. And Dr. Don has some free resources we'd love to put in your hands. Just call us at 866-899-WORD. That's the phone number, 866-899-9673. We would love to not only connect with you, but connect you with great resources that will help you grow.
Many children will head back to school soon. As parents or caregivers, we cannot forget about their spiritual nurturing. Children need to be equipped and prayed for before they go back out into the world. With your gift of $25 per book in support of the Encouraging Word, we will send you a copy of Bedtime Devotions with a Jesus Bible, written by 100 trusted pastors and leaders, including Dr. Wilton. This resource will equip you to share the good news and help answer questions that children may have. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Bedtime Devotions with a Jesus Bible today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a great week, but we can stay connected over the weekend online at tewonline.org. And the other end of this phone number, 866-899-9673.